Foster, we are at KPAN TV. Our friend Eric Archer from KPAN TV sent out a very nice, would you like to tape a Gloucester cast in the studio? And I couldn't be happier to be here. This is kind of cool. There's how many cameras? Eric, how many cameras do we have here right now?
Four cameras.
Whoa. We got all these mics up above. They're probably not in the shop, but I feel like we've arrived.
We've arrived.
That's a word.
That too.
That's a word. I'm gonna cue out our background music. And we have Mr. Effervescent, Toby Pett here.
Good morning, Gloucester.
We have Donna Artazzoni from Somerville, Massachusetts.
Good morning, Gloucester.
So you can't tell by her accent at all. And we have my original podcast partner, who we started the Gloucester cast way back when, a long time ago. Kenny McCarthy.
Good morning, Gloucester.
Yeah, morning. So we got a bunch of topics, and we're going to get right into it. Yesterday was the first, like, nice day. Shorts weather, flip-flops, the whole thing. Do you think it's safe to come out of our bunkers now?
Yeah, it's here.
You feel okay? Like you can like climb out of, like poke your head out?
I promised I would never complain. After this winter, it was so cold for so long. It just wasn't fun. I mean, I'm a winter person. I love to ski. But I can tell you, week after week after week with the cold, I just said I will never complain again.
I can't believe the piles are gone. I thought they were going to be so far into
almost.
May. Most of them.
Go to stage four, go up to the Fuller School.
But that was really kind of funny.
There are still a few underneath people's at the snow parks.
Yeah. But I can't.
No natural landfall is still around. But like at the North Shore Mall a couple days ago, there were still piles.
If you drive down 128, the North Shore Music Theater, you can see tons.
It's very attractive right now, too. But so, I will not complain, never, ever.
So it still, for me, it still stings as well. I mean, that the shoveling is still, like, and that irritation still stings for me.
It was like another day.
When it all started, I'm like, okay, this is kind of cool. And then it quickly turned into what a horrible, horrible thing that we're living through right now. Has the sting? Have you, like, now that there's a little bit of green grass showing up? Has the
I'm
sting?
Fine.
You're totally fine.
Fine during.
So as soon as that nice first nice weather day, do you forget about it?
My beach chair's in my car.
Yeah.
Mine's ready too.
Yeah, I'm ready, but I'm not going to complain about a 50 degree day. I'm sorry.
Are you going to complain about a 90 degree day?
No.
You know, so we have to remind everybody when we get a heat wave this summer, like, oh, I can't wait for winter. I'm going to punch someone in the face.
That's how it's going to go.
Yep.
Now, there are places to go hide when it gets unbearably hot.
Yeah. If you want to see how bad it is, there's still plenty of pictures in my world, in the real estate world. There's still plenty of houses out there that have pictures on up on the internet with snow on the front yard. This deep.
It was tough for everybody. I mean, I'm sure the car dealers didn't sell a car for months. Yeah. You guys didn't sell any real estate.
Yep.
I mean, it just made it difficult for everybody.
We couldn't get the local cinemas.
We couldn't get up and down the sidewalks.
I mean,
the streets were this wide.
I know.
They were like bobsleds.
Yeah.
But we managed to get
through it.
We got through it.
You know what we got now? This is what we get to look forward to. We get the green grass. We get the leaves. All the buds are on the trees right now.
Beautiful.
And my favorite part is when the flower boxes, like on Rocky Neck, where you drive like East Main Street to Rocky Neck, and everybody goes bananas on their cool flower boxes. That mid-May, when everything's finally, you're like, oh, finally we got through.
And I love the smell of mulch. Smell of mulch when people...
Only the brown mulch, though.
Not the ghetto red mulch.
Who knows? I need some help with flower boxes. I have three that I put out. And I have a friend that used to do them for me, and I don't...
Nicole, down at Passports.
She's got a great touch.
Yeah. She does.
And she could do them for you.
She does them.
She does it. Yeah, okay. Commercially,
yeah.
She does it.
Yeah. Okay. She's very good.
Nicole?
Yeah.
All right. Good.
Down Excellent at Passports. Work. Yeah. Thanks. She'd do a great Thanks. Job for you.
She
I
does.
Assure you.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So, a couple things to get out of the way. The next podcast we're looking to do is we didn't get this one off the ground last year. The lesbian cast. We're looking for a couple of good lesbians to talk about lesbianism and like, you know, where we are today as opposed to like 10 or 15 years ago, and what, you know, is it, is lesbian the new black kind of a deal? You know what I mean? Like, is it cool to be a lesbian or a gay guy? Because yeah, it's like kind of like come around now. Like, it's like you're actually more cool to be gay, it seems
it's
like.
It's much more accepting. Well, thank
way
God.
Way more. Yeah, way more.
Thank God.
Yeah, I know, right? Really yeah. good. Really good. Really? So,
we're just getting used to being Irish.
In an Italian community?
Yeah.
But we're looking for a few good lesbians for the lesbian cast. We also, Donna had a, you want to talk about the Magnolia Art Show?
The Magnolia Historical Society is going to have another art show on June 5th, that weekend. And we're looking, we have a call out for artists, photographers,
artists.
From Somerville. We got artists, we're looking for artists.
Sculptures. We have some already out there, but if anybody, they can contact me.
Sculptors and artists. So it's June, say it again, the date is?
June 5th.
And who do they contact, Donna?
They can contact me directly at donna@artizonifotography.com or Tom Falzerano or the Magnolia Historical Society in general.
It's very inexpensive to take part in this one.
And it's a great event.
How much does it cost? What are the fee? That's the fee, 20, 25 bucks?
$30 or something you have. Yeah.
They give you a nice space.
They give you
do you get like two
space.
Photos or something like two?
Four? I had four,
up to four
last year, and I sold them all.
Yeah.
So, and there's a lot of flow going in and out of there, and it's for the historical.
They are
society.
Very, very well attended.
It's very well attended, and it's a great venue.
Yeah.
This is in the library?
It's in the Little Red Schoolhouse on Bloomin' School.
Oh, yeah.
It's just so cool in there.
I got confused by that, too, so it's good to point out.
Well, it used to be in the library, and they do have one at the library, but this is the Historical Society who owns now the Bloomin' Schoolhouse.
Yeah, and there's they do one in the fall. And
they do one in Christmas time, in the holidays, and it's good for the Historical Society because they're really doing a great job in that building.
See, are you helping organize that?
I am.
Okay, Donna's involved with that. Another thing that Donna's involved with, if you're a fan of the blog, you know this already. Donna started the 1 Hour at a Time gang.
Yes, we
and
did.
Now you kind of merged
7 years ago.
And you merged with another group.
The Clean Gloucester Group.
Clean Gloucester Group.
And with Amy Kerr from Ocean Alliance.
So why don't you talk about why don't you explain it a little bit for people that aren't familiar with Good Morning Gloucester, and then talk about what's going to happen this week.
Okay, so every Saturday morning, we take a spot and try to go out and clean. We do it from 8 to 9.
You organize this.
I organize it. And Amy, the two of us have really brought more. I go get all the yellow bags. We tell people to bring their gloves. Last week we did the train station. There was another whole issue. I mean, it was a mess down there. This week,
who's responsible to clean?
The MBTA is supposed to be responsible.
You don't think they're doing a good enough job?
No, I mean, this stuff's still there from the Phoenix. You know, remember the Boston Phoenix?
Oh, wow.
That's not even publication anymore. Get out of there.
Well, there you go. That's proof positive right there.
And we have really dedicated volunteers to come every single Saturday at 8 a.m. Like Melissa Cox and Bill Cox.
Yeah, Ed
Greg
used
Bulver.
To be a regular.
Yeah,
right?
Ed and I actually, Bobby Gillis.
Yep.
We just started to say, we've got to do something.
Yeah.
And we get the yellow bags, and then the DPW will come and pick them up. This week, we're going to meet at the Fisherman's Wives Memorial and do the marsh behind, across the street near on the river there. It's a mess.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, it's a real problem.
What I don't understand, and I've been a couple of times. I didn't realize that that's what I had gone on. Years when you first started, I went a couple of times. I walk my dog all over Gloucester, and I often carry an extra bag with me and pick stuff up, especially in my neighborhood. And this is one of my peeves, and I'm getting going right now. Why do we need to clean up after people? I don't understand. I have one out of every three people that I deal with in my business are from out of town. And something they often mention is, Kenny, what's with the trash?
Mm-hmm.
I
know.
Well, we are a little bit more urban than like Beverly Farms, Kenny.
Yeah, of course
we
are.
Yeah,
but it's still, I mean, nips and coffee cups, a lot of this stuff is, I pick the same stuff up all the time.
Cigarette
on
butts.
My curve by Oak Grove Cemetery.
Yep.
I live over by Oak Grove Cemetery.
You've cleaned that,
and I'm up and down there all the time picking up the same crap over and over. And I know it's people coming around the corner doing this and throwing it. And I've seen kids.
Yeah, don't want to have any open containers in the vehicle.
Yeah, but they still, you know, it's but their responsibility.
Yeah, right. I get it.
Kenny's totally, like beat red right now. But, so I'm fired up.
I hate this. I hate this because it's just so, when I was a kid, we would never, I mean, you get whacked.
If my mother would have grounded me.
My father used to say, pick that up. Don't walk over that. I didn't put it there. Pick it up.
Yeah. Pick it up. My mother, too.
I've seen certain things. I don't mean to pick on any particular profile.
You okay, honey?
Yeah, I'm all right.
But I'm saying that I've seen contractors' pickup trucks. I don't know if they have their coffee break and they just scrunch up their bag or whatever and throw it in the bed of
in the
pickup.
Back of the truck.
Now the pickup goes down Essex Avenue, for example, where you're going to be, and it blows up.
Yeah.
And that's illegal. They're supposed to have it covered.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just saying they just from their coffee break.
I will say this, when we do the cleanups that I've been involved with, those Kenny pointed it out. Those styrofoam cups. I can't understand. I can't understand, like, is there that much of a cost difference that's why Dunkin' Donuts uses those styrofoam cups? Because McDonald's, it seems like they've gone to paper, right?
Coated paper, yeah.
Coated paper, Longall, Cape Ann Coffee, and Pleasant Street all use paper.
I never
paper.
See them. Yeah. It's so
no, you
weird.
See that? You see these same styrofoam cups?
And the new thing we're seeing is the placards to floss your teeth.
Oh yeah!
I'm really
happy that
people are flossing their teeth.
Yeah.
But, oh, the ones on the little plastic handles.
Yeah,
you see
and
a lot
I know
those?
Sometimes they probably fall out of their bags. I mean, I'm not saying that they're just tossing all the time.
Well, no, they're probably doing it on the way to work and tossing them.
Well, are they? You know, I mean, I'm a big flosser, but you put it back in. But that's our new thing. Right, you're like, I've well, it's nice too. That people taking care of their oral health.
That and cigarette butts. And
oh,
I smoked for years, and I used to do this for years out the window of the car. I haven't smoked in over 20 years, and I'm, you know, it's karma, whatever, that it drives me crazy now. I'm sorry. I'm paying for it by picking up all the trash. I'm sure I created a pile of cigarettes like this. But why is it that people that smoke think it's okay to take something that's never going to go away?
The world is their ashtray.
You know how long those things last?
And but they don't.
Where's the ashtray in your car?
Don, do you remember the incident that I had? The one incident where I'm actually, I'm sorry for it, but I lost my cool. The block party, after the block parties at midnight, we would, the block party committee, and Donna helped out too. We would go up the street and we would get in front of a certain business that's next to a business that has been uninhabited for a long time.
And we the workers, won't say what the location is.
The employees at this one business would go in the little overhang of this big giant space that has been recently is for being rehabbed, and because there's an overhang, they would smoke and they would flick their cigarettes in ash. So the curbstone, you know, is like this,
right.
And we would get to that was the end because we'd work our way from the west end up. Literally, the curbstone is like this, impacted with cigarette butts, like just for 20 feet.
Yeah.
And so I'd be going to Lone Gull, and I'm looking, you know, I'm getting out of my car, and I look and I see these people, and I see them flick the ashtray, and we had just cleaned up, you know, like the night before. I'm tired. I get to work. I get up for work at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I marched up. I grabbed the still smoldering cigarette. I walked into the store and I put it on the counter.
Yeah.
And I said, "Your employee must have left this behind by accident."
Right. Right.
I was really heated. The person behind the counter, said, "I'm going to call the cops on you." And I should have said, please call the cops.
Yes.
I didn't say that. But that person, later on, as I found out, said that she felt intimidated by my aggressiveness. I was heated. And I would never hurt it. Believe me when I tell you, I would never hurt a woman. I had no intention of. I was aggravated, and it came off that way.
Right.
But, you know, it's like you see that over and over again, the same people, the same offenders. And after, you know... Okay, I'm impacted by it now. All of a sudden, now it's an issue, I guess, right? I mean, it's terrible, but...
I mean, I went in there as well, and I got my head bitten off. I'm like, you don't scare me. And, you know, and I also went into another place and talked to the gentleman in there, and they didn't know that it was trash. They were like, well, I put it out. You know, like, it's not going to cause a fire.
Right.
And I thought, okay, there's that not educated enough, not educated, but didn't get the fact.
I think they're playing stupid on that one.
Yeah.
I think
they're not that dumb.
But, you know, my I have a son-in-law who's an MD, and he said, if they don't care what's going on in their lungs, you think they care what's going on the street corner?
Okay, so what about this? I've noticed in other communities that have, and this is, I know this contributes to some of our trash. It's windy around here. Mm-hmm. And on trash day, the recycling, the bins are open. And people stack in the bin.
I know.
They don't have covers on them. So it blows. And I can't tell you how many times I've picked up a lettuce container down the street or a soda bottle or something like that that's blown around. So maybe the city, maybe that
You can use a barrel. The city will actually give you recycling stickers that you can stick on.
Right, I see them. But
that's
I also I see...
There's far more recycling bins that are this high that, that people use
and
as well.
And if you do that, put something on top of it.
Yeah, use your head. It's going to blow around.
It's going to
blow around.
Yeah.
Just, you know, it's,
I'm guilty of it
sometimes. We have a gorgeous community, and the litter is just... I see the other communities around us.
The simple answer is the people should have a larger container with those recycling stickers so that nothing comes out of the top. The wind can't knock it out.
Parents, teach your kids. Give your kid a whack. If you see him throwing something.
Get that Baltimore mom.
Give him a whack. I love that. That's like when we were kids.
Get that Baltimore.
I mean, we used to say.
Yeah, if you saw a parent giving their kids a whack, report them.
Yeah. Did they ever get that Baltimore? She must have done some interviews on NBC or something like that.
She did. I saw her. She was a riot.
Was she hilarious?
Totally.
She said, I just lost it when I saw him with The Rock. I told him to be home. She went after him.
It was
she's
great.
She's like a mom.
Yeah. Tough love.
No, I'm going to tell you something.
I loved her.
I don't mean to pick on the people of Baltimore, but there were a lot of people, including yourself, who hadn't been to Camden Yards yet.
Yeah.
I've been several times. One of the things that was on your bucket list was to go to a Red Sox-Orioles game in Camden Yards.
Weekend,
make a whole weekend out of Baltimore, waterfront, everything. Guess what? So many people I know have just said, boy, I'm scratching that off my bucket list. The people... Not that the initial subject for the concern wasn't the proper one, but the rioting, the wanton destruction.
Who burns down their own?
I have zero.
CVS.
Zero interest.
Okay,
who
CVS.
They beg to come there.
Okay,
well,
they beg to come there. The store is gutted, right? They're not rebuilding, so they're not going to have a CVS, which means also the people that work there don't have a job.
Yeah.
And you can go on and on and on. They have just kicked themselves in the teeth. I mean, it's
so we need more moms like that woman.
That's correct.
Mm. Yeah, no question about it.
And you have to say one thing about that boy. He was in this mob mentality, and I call that a mob mentality. You notice he never lifted a finger when she was smacking him.
Yeah, he knew who was in charge.
Yeah, and I
said she's been like that from the get-go.
She's been like that.
This kid knew who was in charge.
But she said she did lose it. And someone said, you have a great right hook.
Well,
but maybe, you know, and I think parents have to teach the children. Who would let their kid throw something out the window?
Oh, I know. Without whacking them.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
I'd be grounded.
We get away with saying you should whack the kid on the Gloucester cast, but I wonder if now, like, you know, we're advocating whacking your kid if he throws something out. We're gonna get we're gonna get this pushback from the politically correct people that think you're like really mean to like whack your 4-year-old kid.
When Kenny and I were growing up, people of our age, our parents, if we did something wrong,
I got a cuff on the back of the head.
Oh, I totally understand.
Yeah.
But we're talking about an era now where comedians who used to get away, like Richard Pryor and Eddie Murphy, could say whatever they wanted to say, and Don Rickles could say. Now comedians who supposedly are supposed to have license to say inappropriate things get taken to task for making jokes.
I know.
So we say they should cuff the kid in the back of the head, but do we now? You know what I mean? Like, now that we've made the big stage of KPAN TV.
I mean, the kid wasn't 5 years old. The kid in Baltimore was probably 16 years old. He was bigger than his mom.
Yeah.
You know, so she had every right.
She was in charge.
And the people
that
are making those rules that you have to be careful, they need a whack too.
Oh,
I never
easily offended. No, that not that. In the age of Twitter and Facebook, they want to be offended. Number of people has grown exponentially.
But
like, you
to
know,
bring it back, Right. The answer is, if you see your kid, if you see somebody who's a friend who you're walking with, who's improperly disposing of items, let them know.
Yeah,
I tell them.
Gum, anything. You want to step in somebody else's gum?
No.
With your $40 flip flops?
There's nothing worse.
Or your bare feet?
What's worse, gum or poop, dog poop? which is worse?
Which is worse?
Go ahead.
It depends on whether or not you're barefoot.
People responsibility for yourself.
Wait, hold on. Flip flops, gum or dog poop?
I'd much rather step in dog poop. It's easy to get off my flip flops.
Because you're a dog person, that's why you say that. Go ahead.
I agree, though. You know why?
The hose and it's gone.
Dog poop is gum is. I don't know where the heck that's been.
Yeah.
Never mind. Dog.
So wait a second. Gone. You'd rather? Okay, I gotta be careful here. Wait. I know where the dog poop's been.
Yeah.
And I gotta tell you. I think I might go gum.
Yeah, maybe.
So tell me where you at on
dog
this?
Dog poop's fine. I'm with Kenny. Just take a hose, rinse it off.
I'm totally. I don't know where. I am totally opposing.
Well, you're such a gambler.
I mean, I don't.
I'll go gum.
I don't want either. Okay,
right.
I don't want either. But dog poop, if you step in it, it sucks, but you can rinse it off.
Okay, I'm going to make a challenge now, too, to all my dog owner friends out there. If you see somebody else's dog.
I got one, and I got one in front of my house.
Dog poop next to the one of your own dog that you're picking it up.
Pick it up.
Pick it up.
What's
the bag's big enough for two or three pieces.
That's why I don't own a dog. That's one of the thousand reasons I don't own a dog.
Well, I love my dog, and I don't. I know every once in a while I'm out there with my dog, and I don't have a bag with me.
Kenny, what do you do with your dog when you go on vacation?
Nieces fight over her to take her.
What kind of dog is it?
She's a mutt. 50-pound mutt.
Cattle
dog. Cattle dog, yeah.
What does that mean, cattle dog?
Australian. A little kind of a shepherd.
A herder.
Yeah.
Is it a yipper? Does it yip?
No. Almost never.
Can't have a yipper.
Almost never.
They should do, you know, the ones that, they have a procedure now where they'll cut their vocal cords.
Know, but you know why they nip? No. Why they yak? Is because they have to protect themselves. Because
they're dogs.
Yeah. My dog has a mutt dog.
Let me tell you something.
They get mud on their things, and then they're excited to see you, and they get all of your clothes.
If you give
reason 1,756 why you don't have a dog.
Not have a dog.
If you give a dog unconditional love, they give you unconditional love back.
Mm-hmm. And they also give you hair on your couch.
Oh, I'm sorry, but if you give unconditional love to another human being, somehow we human beings screw that up and we don't give unconditional love back. But dogs will
dogs
always
are awesome.
They will always give you unconditional
you
love.
Look,
where's
you
your
treat
dog? Them where's well. Your dog? You guys are so
allergic,
awesome. Where's your dog? Huh?
But I'm allergic, but my daughter has a dog, Rosie. You remember Rosie? And Rosie's American foxhound, and
killer.
She doesn't bark.
I don't let her around my kids.
A killer, yeah.
Assassin. They call her Cujo.
Rosie. I love when you see a dog in the car, and their owners are in, like, a store, and the dog's where are they? You know, I just love animals anyways.
Wow. Right? The challenge stands.
You know,
pick up some extra poop.
Yeah.
Or pick up a piece.
Pick
use
up
your poop bag to pick up a piece of trash. If there's a piece of trash.
The other reason,
you know, a little bit at a time,
and
you can clean it up.
Rick sometimes is worried that I'm going to get because I'll tell people
pick
I don't care
up.
Where I am.
Yeah.
If you're taking a walk, take along one of those little grocery bags with you, just not to pick up poop, Joe. Let's not get hung up on that, but to pick up some trash when you bring you're back to your house, you're back to your vehicle, and then properly dispose of it all.
Toby does it all the time. I see him all the time walking with the bag.
Yep.
I'm telling you, I do. So.
I have yellow bags in my trunk.
No, I have the...
Excuse me.
Look at that!
In the
poop patrol.
In my,
you know that
in my,
kid show, Paw
khakis.
Patrol? He's poop patrol.
In my khakis. Every pocket I have has a oh yeah, we're on
poop
TV.
Patrol.
Has a poop bag in it, you know?
It's all about the poop.
Question.
Gloucester cast.
Curious.
Poop cast. Lesbian cast next week, poop cast this week.
The 5 cent or whatever it was
for the
on water bottles, I voted for it.
I did too.
Did you vote for it?
It didn't pass.
I know it didn't.
It didn't pass.
Which bummed me up.
Well, I was shocked. I was shocked that it didn't pass. I would have lost a lot of money on a bet. I thought that was going to pass.
It was a landslide.
It was a no-brainer to me.
You know?
The only problem some people had was the representatives, they didn't have to vote if they wanted to raise it from 5 cents to 6 cents every time you buy.
Oh, he's going to automatically get increased.
That was what a lot of people argued about.
That was a sticking point. So you, do you think if they reintroduce this bill
without
this,
that,
whatever,
you know,
this
just thing, a flat 5 cents.
The House of Representatives should be voting on right. if they're going to raise anything, but they didn't in the state Senate.
I didn't follow it that closely.
See, and I, because I'm, okay. You know, one of those people. And
I'm a huge fan of the what they did, what they tried to do. Did they get it through in Manchester with the paper bags? As
they
opposed
did,
to?
But I don't know how well that's going to work.
Why?
Well, there's a mindset of certain things that belong, they, you know, because sometimes I go to a store in Manchester and, you know, some of the...
You can say Crosby's.
Oh, yeah.
It's
some
okay.
of the older people who shop in there, they return their plastic bags.
Yeah.
And I look at
they
them.
They recycle.
Yeah. They recycle them, and I'm all against the plastic, especially the cheap plastic. Some of the stores downtown have that heavy-duty plastic that I reuse.
You mean the heavy-duty stuff that'll never go away?
Yeah, well, yeah, but I don't. But you can reuse and reuse
yeah.
and reuse.
Yeah, you got to count on people to do yeah. the right thing. I
yeah,
don't know.
Well,
good
that's
luck.
The whole thing. But I mean, I think it should all plastic. What we see in the ocean, and balloons are another one of my pet peeves.
Yeah.
They don't go to heaven when you release them.
No.
They do not go to heaven when
all you release them. All right, let's go. Let's go.
There
let's
you
wind
go.
This up. How many? Who drinks Gloucester water?
I do.
I do.
Do too.
Right here.
I do too. I don't
I do
buy
too.
Bottled water.
No.
Britta. There's nothing wrong with
Britta
Gloucester
filter.
Water. Yeah.
No, on occasion I buy bottles to have in my vehicle with me.
You put it in
right.
these.
Right. Yeah. Or I refill soda bottles all the time. If I don't drink much soda, but I save the liter bottles and I my friends,
they're great for for you put them in the freezer while
yes.
and
for
ice, for
the
ice
cooler.
Yeah. Yeah. I never think
yeah,
of it until
that's what
but
I
I'm going to do
but,
it this summer.
You know, people the biggest one of the biggest scams ever foisted upon us as a people are that we have to drink bottled water. There's something wrong with the water. I don't mean just here in Gloucester, but
everywhere.
I mean when I was okay, once again, when I was a kid, I had
couple
a canteen
years.
When
that's
I went hiking or camping.
Yeah.
I didn't carry
you know,
a bottle of water around.
It's funny.
There was always a faucet there.
Did you have TV when you were a kid?
No.
speaking of bottled water, right? This is a topic that I wanted to bring up. There have been the people in my life that as long as something was packaged in little cute mini containers,
yeah,
it could be priced five times as much mm-hmm. as a 6 ounce water bottle.
Don't get me going.
Wait, hold on. Six like a 24 pack of 6 ounce water bottles is $15. Mm-hmm. A 24 pack of 16 ounce water bottles is $4. And they buy because they're cute. They buy the 6 ounce water
right.
bottles for $15 a thing. Because
right.
they don't even. I don't know right. what now. There's a couple different things. Are they buying them because they're cute, or are they just assuming because they're small they're less money,
yeah.
or what it is? But it's this correlation of the women that buy these cute little bottled waters five times as much.
I don't
for five times as much. There's this huge correlation between those people. So you got the circle, you know, the two circles and the concentric circles.
Yeah.
It's 99% overlapping of if you shop at Whole Foods, like the one in Linfield where everything is $75 like or more, like the subset of people that belong to both of those groups,
yeah, yeah.
The people that buy the bottled water that are this big
right.
and shop at, I am seriously considering opening up a mini packaged food store. And it's that may be the title actually, and I'm gonna open it up.
Call it a mini mart.
A mini mart.
Gee.
And I think I'm like the margins would be like through the roof, and I'll probably be able to retire in
well,
a year
it's
because
so weird.
And it'll just be all cute
that.
Little packaging
yeah, yeah. Well,
for
that's
five times as much.
Right.
As long
so
as you
like
locate yourself close to Linfield and other communities like that, where people aren't paying attention to what the price is. Of
we
what.
Might have be able to put one in Anisquam.
Yeah,
the swells.
No. We're going to be buried in those Keurig,
the
K-cups.
Yes. K-cups.
They're so convenient. I have
convenient,
not. I have yet to have an awesome cup of coffee
plastic.
Out of one.
Well, the I have a Keurig because I don't drink coffee. I don't drink. I only drink tea. So Rick doesn't drink coffee
either.
Or tea. So I have one because if someone comes, I don't make a big pot and I'm not wasting.
Yeah, I get it.
But
I
keep them
they're
in the
so
fridge.
Convenient.
I know they're
taking over, but I have yet. I've tried 15 different flavors. I've yet to have a cup of coffee come out of one of those things that has been the equivalent of a Cape Ann Coffee, Pleasant Street Tea Company, McDonald's.
Even Dunkin' Donuts.
McDonald's. I like Dunkin' Donuts coffee.
What'd you say, my coffee of choice right
Dunkin's,
here.
To me, Dunk's is inconsistent. Like every
depends on which one you go to.
Every fourth one I get tastes like burnt rubber or something.
How about
like
when
that?
You order a cup of tea there and you taste coffee because they use through the same filter?
Is that happening?
That's one of my pet peeves. Why I carry my.
Look, first of all, there are reusable like metal little cups that you can pack your own if you have.
But that does away with the whole convenience factor of the K-cups.
Well, you just pack it into the K-cup machine. You put that in, and then that
if
can
I
be.
If I had a K-cup machine,
I'm saying that's a way
I don't have
to
a microwave.
And you don't have a TV.
I just bought a TV last fall.
You broke down.
In November, I bought a TV.
He broke down.
I haven't had a TV in years.
Now you can watch this.
You're a wild man.
Yeah.
Kenny, let's talk a little bit about.
He has a dog. He takes walks with the dog
and carries a yellow poop.
He's okay.
Kenny, real estate was slow this winter, obviously because of the weather.
Yeah.
Has the spring market
it's
been
picked up? It's picked up.
Picked up. Hot.
Picked up, and I'm not talking poop.
Yeah.
it's picked up. We are we're about even. Inventory wise, we were off 30% at the beginning of this. A month ago, we were off 30%. In the last month. People have climbed on and said, oh, I want to sell my house, I want to sell my house, I want to sell my house.
I saw so many. Donna talked about this, that it's the weather sort of changed, the snow disappeared.
The signs go up.
Signs went up, and they went under agreement almost immediately.
Right.
And a lot of people who are my age, I'm not saying.
Me too.
You're younger than us.
But I have decided to sell the bigger houses.
Yeah.
And buying, like what Rick and I did 11 years ago, we bought a smaller house.
Sure.
With not a lot of yard and all that kind of
stuff. Thoreau would be proud of you. The Dalai Lama would be proud of you. Less is more.
Less is more. And where I live, I adore. We hit the mark.
So let's listen to Kenny, the real estate professional.
Because I love hearing about people that.
I'm on Strawberry Cove. It's a raised ranch, 2-bedroom, 3 full bathrooms with an office.
But you have a lot of grandson. 2,000
square feet? Like
it's about 2,200 with the garage.
Yeah.
But that's also your office.
It's my office, too. Yeah, I love my house.
People get right-sized now when they get to be our age. They don't necessarily downsize. They want the house configured differently. They want it all on one floor.
Yeah, that's but I don't have it that way. Yeah, they want the master on the... Yeah. I just wanted the bathrooms.
A lot of people want two masters, all right? Well, we don't have to talk about this here. No, it's they don't sleep in the same room anymore.
Oh, I could see that trend. Yeah,
but they don't want to talk about that.
Right.
They don't want to say, well, we only...
The guy snores or the wife snores.
Right,
they're like, the only way we're going to get peace is if we have two master bedrooms.
Yeah, we've been together for a long time because we don't sleep in the same room anymore and we both get a good night's sleep.
Whatever floats the boat.
Yeah.
I could totally see that. And you probably would never hear that publicly from these people because they might be embarrassed.
Well, there are times I want to put a pillow
but
on
I learned to listen
head,
to the,
don't.
I learned to listen to the cues. And we can figure it out.
Yeah.
We can figure it out.
But I mean, for someone like me, I wanted the full bathrooms because I have a lot of guests.
Sure.
Well, you have
and
so
I have
many
a master bath and nobody goes
you
in
there. You don't want anybody in there but you and Rick.
Oh, I love that.
It's like a
luxury for me. Right. But, it is, I think you're seeing the right sizing. That's a good term.
Yeah.
What segments of the market are hot right now?
Anything up to 500
in
Gloucester and Rockport is going on the market and flying off the market right now. There's a lot of optimism out there in the marketplace. Buyers are in cash. They've already sold a lot of times what they needed to sell before they could buy. So we say that they're in cash or they're spending a little bit of their stock portfolio. I mean, the stock market's record highs.
They got an opportunity right now to they've gone through a couple of these, saw their portfolio get cut in half.
Yep.
Now they sold their big house. They got another pile of cash sitting around. Do you want to invest that pile of cash at market tops, or do you want to put it into a hard asset that no matter what happens,
you're still going to be
in this place?
And it's the baby boomers because we're the largest group.
Yeah,
that's right.
Demographically,
they push everything.
Because I'm a numbers guy. I'm a marketer. I love looking at numbers. What's happened in the past? The sins and benefits of the past are likely to repeat over and over and over again. And we tend to run in 10-year cycles in real estate here in the United States. Five up and five down, five up and five down. Or some configuration thereof. What's going to happen after this winter? How many more houses are we going to see on the market in spring of 2016 or this fall? We don't have more houses now. We're almost dead even, except for Rockport. Rockport's still off 15-20% from where we were last year, inventory-wise. But everybody else is, the condo and the single-family market are just about dead even where we were a year ago. But because of this winter, how many people are going to say,
Florida real estate is up already. I checked on it. It's up already. People are going down there and grabbing bargains. They say, I'm never going to spend another January and February ever again. I met a guy that in North Fort Myers got himself a single wide trailer in a 55 plus community. Sure. Less than 50 grand.
Sure.
Yeah, all set.
All set. Okay.
But you have the snowbirds.
I met somebody who bought a place in Port Charlotte, you know, for stupid low money.
Yeah. You know. So, Toby, Kenny, she sheds. She
One
sheds.
Of my colleagues, and we all send out these little newsletters and things like that to clients or whatever. One of my colleagues had a really interesting piece in her newsletter that went out called She Sheds. And I did a little digging on it, and it's something that's come from the UK. You know how many, I mean, who at the table has a shed in their yard? No sheds?
Mm-hmm. But I see a lot of them.
All right. In Gloucester, if you don't have a shed, there's something wrong. You've got to get a shed.
Garage.
Yeah, okay. There's people in Gloucester that have 2-3 sheds in their yard.
Yeah.
And I have a shed. I built my shed. And we have this phenomenon called man caves.
Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, there are now these things called she sheds, where the wife has a space out in the yard where she can go and do whatever she wants out there, read, sit, and there's if you Google she shed, you'll see photographs of these cool little Victorian or whatever types of sheds.
200 square feet.
Not even that. I mean, yeah, but 100 square feet.
I mean, part of the reason why people, I mean, that idea is tremendous, but part of the reason why I have sheds here, let's face it, they're granite outcroppings in so many basements.
We don't have basements here.
Or useful basements. So sometimes in order to have some storage, a reasonably convenient storage for tools, that sort of thing, you have to have a shed in your yard to access it.
But the cool part about this, I think the point that Kenny's trying to make, it's like a whole different, a new use that's kind of popping up. The man always had his shed or his work storage. Right. You don't need to go out, whittle, do woodworking, whatever. Like, I love, like, and our one of our contributors, Alicia Pensarosa, on her Instagram page, I saw she had posted a photo of from the inside of one of these old campers, and she was up in Maine. And I said, I want to know everything about this camper.
You mean like
camper.
An Airstream?
Yeah, pull behind, tow behind.
Yeah.
But like it's really like shaped like a Winnebago. It's like that tin kind of like horizontally slapped on there, and you know, aluminum. It's not like one of those fancy stainless steel,
it's
$100,000 one.
Right.
And I begged her, I'm like, I need to know the whole story, where you found it, because it's probably like 40 years old.
Cool.
And it's probably hard to find clean ones that aren't full of mold.
Right.
You know, of these things. But it's talk about bucket lists and wanting to go to Camden Yards. I've always wanted to go like in a Winnebago or something, or a camper, but not one that you have to crank up.
Yeah.
But like one that you can go. I'm not into like tent, like sleeping on the ground. But I am all about being able to go to a location, say up in Maine for the lobster boat races, and cruising up there with the family.
Sure.
And then like and just hanging out and cooking out on the grill and kind of being off the grid.
Yeah.
But like being able to go wherever you want to go.
Yeah. Disconnect it and drive the truck.
Self-contained.
So there's like this different levels. But in the past 10 or 15 years, there's also been this movement towards tiny, off-the-grid, like movable living spaces, like tinyhouse.com, and I forget some of the names of them, yeah. but some of these websites yeah. you go to, and they have
They're built on a trailer, yeah. and they put them, yeah.
And there's catalogs and photos, and there's websites and communities that they just talk about how they conquered, you know, space limitations and some of the interesting things and what they did with solar panels and what how they did with potable water and to make it more and more and more livable and, yeah. and what, you know, because you're always going to have to make sacrifices. Okay, you're going to have more windows, less privacy. You're going to have, you know, more storage, less walking space. Yeah, right. yep. So, you know. Yeah.
It's like a boat.
But those websites, and in the show notes of this, I will put a link to, you know, some of these websites. I have them bookmarked, but I'm just having a brain cramp right now. So, Alicia Pensarosa, please tell us the story where you found your camper. And if you don't think it's too private, how much you paid for it? Because I love the whole story.
Yeah, sure.
It.
And why? Yeah.
Ben McAdam, he's an artist, and he rented a gallery space for next to EJ's on Rocky Neck a couple of years ago.
Okay.
And on his page, he's doing a project where he's building a trailer platform. It's exactly what we're talking about, yeah. but it's the only one that I know that's been done around. He lives around here,
yeah.
So I want to follow his project and link to it if he's mm-hmm. willing to share.
Yeah, it's the baby boomers too that have decided to maybe.
It seems so much easier to buy one of these pre-made aluminum jobs. You know what I mean, from 20, 30 years ago for $5,000 or $6,000. As opposed to building one out of wood. I mean, everything costs so much nowadays. You're probably talking about.
Well, everyone has their own reasons for doing it.
God bless them. Yeah. I'm not criticizing. Yeah. I'm just pointing out that, you know.
And then they're also maintaining a home as well, you know.
When you go,
a lot of times they have both. Right.
When you go up, way up north, and, actually in Florida and stuff like the country, there's, you'll see these huge, places where they buy and sell campers and trailers and stuff like that. I think New Hampshire and Winnipesaukee and those type of places.
Enough
they have those.
Route 3 in Maine.
A lot less here.
You know, yeah, well.
Route 3 in Maine?
Yeah, you know that Route 3 on
is
the
that what
way
goes to the.
Yeah, Belfast and when I go
there,
up that road.
There's a couple east-west routes, Route 3 and Route 2, and so that's what she's referring to.
Yeah.
East-west.
Mm. And it's.
And her kids live up in Belfast.
In Belfast, and right. when we're going up there, there's a lot of mobile homes, too. I call them mobile homes. And it makes me laugh because they're right on the highway and they have 20 acres behind them. But they're living right on the highway.
Well, the older people get, I think they move closer to the pavement. I mean, I think when they're young, they want to be back a mile deep in the woods and not see or hear anyone. But my experience in Vermont was the older the people got, they moved closer to the pavement.
Mm-hmm. People today, in general, too, are moving closer to downtown areas. Yeah. They like to be able to walk.
They move
downtown. Gosh. Parking's a pain in the neck.
So I think people are moving to the cities, and they're moving back to the city, because that was one of my options, is to move back to, into Boston. But I'm a beach bum, so you either go into the coast.
Can you walk Can you walk from your house to the Magnolia Beach?
Yes, I do.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I did yesterday. Nice.
Well, you just walks down the path, Old Salem Path.
And Shore Road or Flume.
How long a walk is that?
About 15 minutes, but it's all along the coast.
It's a nice walk.
Oh, it's wonderful.
Wait, can you go towards the water?
right along the main street.
Oh, there's a path there?
Oh, yeah. Shore Road.
From Strawberry Cove to Old Salem to
Shore Road.
To Shore Road.
Oh, so you don't walk on the Hesperus or whatever?
No,
or
Norman Avenue. Because I might get hit there.
Yeah, no, I would think.
They go flying down Hesperus, so
the corners there are crazy.
Hey, have you heard about Tony's? What's going on with the building?
Oh, there's so many rumors.
Nothing that could be that you've heard.
There's a real vacuum there.
We need
the people in Magnolia are chomping at the bit.
We need a sandwich place or a general store.
Yeah,
we really wanted Willow Rest to come.
East Gloucester, we wanted a Willow Rest. Every 10 blocks, there should be a Willow Rest.
Because Willow Rest is like a little general store.
Yeah, but I can tell you, even in the fall when it's football time. So many people went there for their wings to bring them home.
Sure, sure.
because there's nothing you can do.
What about the pub?
They don't do that kind of thing?
They do, but people haven't caught on to that yet.
I just wonder how
long has it been. I'm telling you.
Why is it taking so long for... I mean, the poor guy had a business there. And I mean, he's been out of business now for months.
But he works for...
Does he have a
full-time job?
We don't want to talk about
that. There is some of that available at the Magnolia Pub, yes, but it's not...
And 5 to 5 is not open at lunch.
We don't think of it as a takeout place, so that's just not in people's brains.
Right.
Yeah. No, pizza, and they used to deliver it to the beach. The mothers would call and say, and some, Lauren, God bless her soul, she would, you know.
I'm shocked no one's opened a pizza joint on Lexington Ave.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff now on there.
Yeah, it's getting coming on. Bill Fonville.
Hey, I'm telling, Gloucester's popping.
It's been popping. We were on an upward trend for about 10 or 12 years.
Well, I think we have the advantage of seeing Boston in the skyline. We have that.
The hotel coming.
But you see the...
But the commuter rail play is a major component in that, too. People can locate up here and not have two vehicles.
I think a big part in the resurgence of Gloucester, there's a couple reasons. A, the restaurant scene went off.
Fabulous.
And B... despite, you know, the it's kind of a double-edged sword. The decline in the fishing industry is sad, but it has opened up a thought process where hospitality-related industries are not thought of as a dirty word anymore, everything that came down the pipe that way was... you know, just try to annihilate people trying to do anything like that. Now it's we're embracing a lot more cultural stuff.
Your lobsterman, Mark Ring, one of your key guys. Did you ever meet his friend Clyde that he grew up with in Manchester? Clyde is one of these guys. He works for a couple of the world-class golf course architects. So he gets sent, if they're going to have the U.S. Open at a certain place like Torrey Pines in California and San Diego, he goes there and redoes the course for 2 years.
Yeah.
Clyde says we're spoiled back here. He said, we have more good restaurant options.
Absolutely.
He said, I go out there and I'm stuck with Bob Evans.
Really?
You know? I'm sorry, I don't mean to put Bob Evans in the chain down, but he says, I'm stuck with Bob Evans. He says, you guys are spoiled back here.
You can go as close as Danvers.
Yeah.
And like, you don't want to go for breakfast in Danvers? There's one place, the Greek, you know, the Brothers place. Yeah. You know, there's a million Brothers places around. We have like
you can go anywhere for breakfast.
Options. We have good options.
That's what I mean. I mean, we in there not chains, which I adore the fact that you go in there and people know your name.
Did anybody read in the Gloucester Times? Sean Horgan, the staff writer, wrote things seem about the. We're gonna talk about the fluoride, psychotic fluoride battle that's going on. Things seem to be getting a little chippy between the anti-fluoride and pro-fluoride advocates in advance of the May 5 vote on whether the town should continue
today.
It's
Rockport,
fluoridating its drinking water. Police say they were summoned to the Rockport Public Library at 7 p.m. Thursday on a report that three anti-fluoride protesters were blocking access to pro-fluoride advocates who were trying to attend a Board of Health panel's discussion in the library. Police said a police detail en route.
Haven't I got anything else to do?
That's what I said. Do you have a job?
Well, here's... I just want to finish this up because I don't want to take it out of context. Also today, Anne McMillan, a member of the town's Conservation Commission and an anti-fluoride advocate, submitted a letter to the Times in which he said about a half dozen fluoridation opponents were handing out literature at the library's two entrances Thursday night when one individual berated them and then called police falsely claiming they were blocking access to the building. McMillan also said opponents to the fluoridation of the town's water were denied participation in the Board of Health panel discussion. Okay.
Really?
It is. I will say this.
Really?
Like, we talked about the fluoride thing on the blog.
Yep.
Like, I brought it up months ago.
Yeah.
Long time ago.
And my theory was that the American Dental Association... my personal dentist, and a majority of dentists stand behind fluoride, and government agencies stand behind fluoride. I am of the opinion, and I am not trying to discredit these other people, but I am going to take my dentist, who has practiced forever, I'm going to take his word, and I am of the belief that I have faith in my doctors and my dentist to give me
the proper
guidance. And I do not believe that my dentist has the conspiracy theory that these people want to say, that they are all in it for money gains because they want you to have worse teeth or anything else. That being said, like, there are still like commenters on the anti-fluoride, this group, that on a weekly basis write in on those old posts, which means they have to search out those mm-hmm. old posts to find them, to comment on them. I have never seen such a relentless group. And if they believe what they believe, I'm not saying you can't.
Whatever you want, but.
But
the dentist that we go, Donna and I go to, practiced in a location where they did not have fluoride, and for 20 years, I think he said, and a location where they do have fluoride, and said he saw physical evidence of the people that didn't have the fluoride having much worse teeth.
The children, kids.
So that's what I'm basing mine on, and what the government said. I don't also believe that the government and people that are on these panels are paid to give us that big of false information and put that many people at health risk.
No comment.
That's fair.
I have to tell you, one of the person who was against...
Excuse me.
I mean, there's some people that I respect.
Was also against the wind turbines. It was also against the hotel. It was also against the sculpture.
Oh, the professional protesters?
Yeah. And I thought, you know what? I saw you here... I saw you. Do you have a job? And what do you really believe? And that was one of the things that kind of...
I don't know. I don't want to disparage these people because there's actually there's a bunch of them that I actually really like and really respect. I just... And the point I guess I'm trying to make is that I disagree with you. You can have your opinion and I'm not... But like they seem to not take like that... My mind on this is what my mind is. They just keep coming at you and saying, no, you can't because of this. And I'm like, I'm sorry. Like,
and if they want to have it on the ballot, more power to you because that is...
Yeah,
but that's the war of the people.
Hopefully,
there's a whole feeling, and I think Jason, I don't want to put words in someone's... Someone said, you don't... Like, certain things you actually are not... good to have on a ballot because you get sentiment that is led by fear and stuff like that, but not facts. Yes. And
so
it can determine
what those things are. So maybe no. I don't know. Maybe we have to leave things up to the government.
But I'm leaving it up to my dentist.
I don't mind. But, I don't mind having like funding like research to find out if it's truly thin there. Mm-hmm. But I don't want like people that are not necessarily qualified or trying to sell. Like a lot of these people, the anti-fluoride people, are selling books about anti-fluoride and have whole crusades and are going town to town selling their lectures about anti-fluoride.
And they've got a vested interest in the anti-fluoride.
They're saying that the government and the dentists have a vested interest in having fluoride. Right. I'm saying you have an invested interest in going around giving you speeches.
You don't have it.
If you have fluoride, you have less cavities. So why would they think that dentists have...
My point I was going to make...
I trust my dentist, not... You know.
One of the... Most of these dentists, they're normal people. Okay? They don't live in ivory towers and not... They occasionally have a beer, they have a bourbon, they smoke a cigar. They're not crazy people, okay? They are just like the rest of us, is what I'm trying to say. They're not extremists. And as you said, the reason why they support or take the position that having fluoridated water is better is they've seen it when it hasn't been.
Hmm. Well, and in fairness to this other group, some of these people are saying they have a vested interest in, like, they think they're saying these people would rather have the dentist see you have, like,
good teeth?
problems or something like that.
I don't understand that perspective.
Enamel and stuff like that, this now they come up with this thing that, I don't know, whatever.
Well, oranges can ruin your enamel,
I want to speak about, I want to go on to a new topic. The this past weekend, I celebrated one of my daughter's birthday party, and for her birthday party, we took her to a New England Revolution soccer game. I surprised her. But I just want to talk about what a great, I know people always talk about those minor league baseball games as being a great take. The Revolution, the soccer games, that's a fantastic take. So I got the tickets like 3 or 4 weeks.
Madeline's a big soccer player.
She's a soccer player, so I wanted to do something that meant something to her. But like, so you get on the Ticketmaster website, and there's like 10 different levels of tickets you can buy. Now, I was taking my entire family to go, and I bought like towards the low bottom rung of the tickets, like they were like $26 a ticket. And we were 9 rows from the field. And
good location.
Now you go to a Patriots game at Gillette Stadium. It's at Gillette Stadium, right?
Yeah, right.
That's the venue for these.
Yeah,
that's the venue.
It's Gillette.
Kraft owns the New England Revolution as well.
Okay. And they've been doing very well.
So you go to the stadium. If you go for a Patriots game, it's $40 to park. You go for the Revolution, it costs you zero. Patriot Place is all built now, and they have all these restaurants there. So we just filled the back of my pickup truck with like snack food and birthday cake and balloons and stuff. We cranked up there. We had pizza at Patriot Place, so we didn't have to do a grill and the whole grill thing. But we had plenty of food and beverages for the kids and stuff. And I don't know how you guys feel, but tailgating to me is like, I would drive to Gillette and tailgate all day and just not even, I love the game. The game was actually exciting. But I would actually, it would satisfy me to tailgate all day and go home. Because I just love being a bunch of people.
And anytime I'm lucky enough to be invited to go to Patriots game, because that's the only way I can afford to go, is if I'm somebody's guest. The tailgating is a key component.
I'll tell you, for anything, it's great.
I went to a BC game.
That was great.
That was awesome.
If you don't tailgate, you're missing part of the
experience. You're totally missing part of the experience.
I've never tailgated.
I'm telling you.
Never?
No.
It's a lot of fun. You know the people next to
you. You play cornhole. Do you ever play cornhole with the beanbags?
Oh, that's what you were looking for.
No. Yeah.
No. It's great. I mean, it could be Penn State. It doesn't have to be BC or the Patriots.
Game. It was
tailgating
awesome.
In those circumstances
it looks like fun.
It can be an absolute blast.
Because you're outside and you meet
I've never been invited, all right?
Poor Kenny.
Is there a problem?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, no, I would just like to say, you can go, you can bring your family. It's not overly expensive.
Yeah,
and the other part about, so I brought the girls to a Celtics playoff game a couple weeks ago. First one for them.
Fabulous.
And I would like
did
to say,
so the, those?
No.
Not so much. But I did take Uber. So the point I'm trying to make is the fans at the Revolution games are very, like, you go in and out of the bathrooms, they step out of the way, say, you know, please and thank you, and right this way and everything. Very, very cordial and everything, polite. As opposed to, like, the Celtics games, which we had a blast at, but, like, you know, you get little kids, and the people are swearing the whole game, and it's not as family-friendly as...
It's like going to a hockey game.
Yeah, same type of deal. I would highly recommend anyone... So say the next Revolution game that comes up, you don't have to buy the tickets in advance because there's still seats that you could have gone. So my advice to a family would be, if it's a beautiful day or not necessarily a beach day but a nice day to be outside, get online, get the tickets, just drive down there day of. You don't have to buy them in advance because if it rains, it's going to not be so fun. And go, and it's a great family day.
And as long as you're, you know, the problem with the Patriots game that – if you go to a game on a Sunday at 4 o'clock, you're not home until 3 a.m. the next day.
I'd rather sit in my house
with the fire going and watch. Yeah. But the Revolution, that's a fun thing to do.
Totally fun. So I'm totally confused, and I have to get a hold of Rob Newton from Cape Ann Cinema on this Indiegogo campaign. The first press release that went out, on the Indiegogo campaign, said they raised. First, we heard about it. They're looking to raise $75,000 plus to save Cape Ann Cinema. The first, and this is straight from their website. The money that is raised by way of this campaign will be used in the following ways. This is a crowdsourcing campaign to save the cinema. The first 30,000 will pay
private enterprise.
Okay.
It's not a
company. Can I
I'm sorry.
Okay. The first $30,000 will pay all existing operational debt, much of which was suffered during the past horrible, horrible winter. The second $25,000, so he has, it says it has operational debt of $30,000. The second $25,000 will pay back a small portion of the investment of time and money by the Cape Ann CACNS staff over the last 8 years. The remaining $20,000 will be gifted to the cinema's new management team to do with as they need. All funds in excess of the campaign will seed Zoe Annabelle Austin Newton's College Fund, which I think he said in tongue in cheek, but I'm not positive. Yeah. All right, so now I just got, so now a new press release came out yesterday saying that if you,
I didn't understand it either.
So, yeah, was he giving it away?
So, oh, wait. So now we got a press release yesterday that says through June 30th, the Cape Ann Cinema and Stage will host an essay contest. Write us 250 words on why I want to own and operate a small seaside cinema. And if you can convince us that your passion for film and community is greater than all others, I will gift you not only a totally debt-free majority ownership of the cinema, but we'll give you $20,000 with which to get started, plus a variety of support for the first year. You can read all the rules and find out how to enter with a big button below. I don't understand how in the first part, the first one says that they have debt, $30,000 right, to pay all existing operational debt. And then in this, he's going to give the person money. So what I would be worried about, so what happens if you write the essay, you win the cinema, he deeds the cinema to you,
right,
but the Indiegogo campaign doesn't get funded to raise the money to pay off the debt. Do you get to own the debt too?
I don't know.
Well, see, I didn't understand how you could be looking for so much money and then give it away, give the whole... It's like he's giving
I don't understand it
away.
At all. I don't get it at
Sounds
all.
Sounds like a phone interview is in order.
Yeah.
Well,
just to figure it out.
Last time we talked about this subject, I was very clear in expressing my opinion. All right, this is a private enterprise. I know he had a tough time this winter. A lot of businesses did. Kenny's real estate business did not flourish. Okay, the car dealers did not have a flourishing business because of the winter. I am sorry that Rob is suffering. I've been to the facility. I love it.
I do too.
Okay, but it is a private enterprise. All right, and he's basically saying, bail me out, public, and because I'm going to try to turn this into some sort of community thing, and it's not. It's a private enterprise. You could take $50,000 of your own money and open up a competing facility, and if you're successful, good for you. But I don't know why we should be giving him, $75,000. I don't know why we should be giving him $75,000.
Well, I think that the place is a jewel. I love that we have an art house cinema in town.
And we sit on.
And I don't. If people want to give money to this guy,
fine,
whatever, all the power to him.
Yeah.
I'm just confused on the first press release that says the first $30,000 will pay all existing operational debt. The second $25,000 will pay back a small portion of the investment of time and money to the Cape Ann Community Cinema staff over the last 8 years. And then he's running an essay contest to find someone to own it. And they're going to give you, and they're going
to
give the money. It says, I will gift you not only a totally debt-free majority ownership of Cape Ann Community Cinema.
How much has to be sent in with each essay entry?
Oh, I don't think that there's money.
I think it was a $99 entry fee.
Was it?
I think so. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, and that's
there was an entry fee on top of that.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. There have been inns in Maine. Okay, there was one up in I think in Lovell, Maine, where they had a bed and breakfast, and they put it on the market with an essay contest of $150 or whatever it was a dollar, and they got $1.5 million.
I got to tell you something.
And they gave it away. But they didn't give it away for nothing. They gave it away for $1 million.
This also states that some of the money is going to go to an unnamed in the essay contest, the money, part of the money is going to go towards an unnamed person that's been involved with the cinema for a while. It's unnamed. I mean, and name the person.
Right.
I mean, I don't understand that.
Confused with the whole thing.
You just happened to miss the.
I have a broken down. My fork truck down the wharf has about that much rust on it, but it's been an integral part of the community for a long time.
Come on.
I am seriously considering my own
Indiegogo.
No, I'm going to do Indieglo-glo.
Okay.
I'm going to open up my own. I'm going to actually do a whole new crowdsourcing platform on top of that. I got a better idea. I'm going to raise money. I'm going to crowdsource an idea to come up with a new crowdsourcing platform, and I'm going to call it Indieglo-glo instead of Indiegogo. I need $1 million, people of Gloucester. I need $1 million to launch my Indiegogo crowdsourcing campaign.
Good for you.
So we can have a platform for people to ask for outrageous sums of money for their own business.
What is with crowdsourcing, by the way?
It's this thing. It's a thing.
It's
now.
A thing, and it's I see thing. It, and I see
it's over the top.
But you know, Savathia sent out a survey to all the people whose business were affected during this wonderful winter we had.
Yeah.
Did he fill it out? You know,
I don't want to take a shot. I want to say, I cannot stress this enough. Having an art cinema show these kind of things is really cool. Right. And if people want to support this, I just think we are deserved a few more answers on all this kind of mystery, where
offering.
This money is going to, and stuff like that.
$99, yeah. How many people are going to put an essay? These are kids who are going to write an essay, maybe.
Whatever. He's not twisting them to do it. Twisting them to do it.
And he didn't invent the concept that he's, or the path. He didn't create the path. Others have gone before him, which is just mind-blowing to me.
And if you want to
pizza
do
oven.
This...
Whatever.
You got to have full disclosure when you do any of this kind of stuff.
So many people have done this in so many ways. They think it's okay.
I don't think... You know, I don't even... I do think it's okay.
Not.
I just think you need more... Why? No one's forcing anybody to donate the money.
No.
I don't say it's not okay. There is just so much... what I consider conflicting, like...
We're trying to give him some constructive feedback.
Feedback.
So he can let us know.
Because I think people would feel more comfortable donating to him.
Because
so far, I think, as of yesterday, I looked at it, there was like $1,600 raised out of the $75,000 that had been out for like a week or so.
See,
I wouldn't write an essay, personally. But I love the... I went...
Love
five,
like
six,
love
five or six yeah. Wednesdays love in a row last summer by myself.
And whatever they asked you for
what was
that evening,
you
paid.
And you sit on a couch.
Yeah. Look for my Indiegogo, my campaign to launch my Indiegogo campaign.
I'm with you.
Platform for other people to...
I'll bring coffee to the... when you launch it, I'll bring coffee for you.
And then someone can help me replant all my pack of sandra that got ruined in the snow.
If my $1 million Indiegogo platform campaign gets off, then you could put in for a...
Can I throw my Visa bill in there?
Throw your Visa bill in. Yeah, we'll do that. It's gonna be wide open. We'll do it wide open. You don't even have to be a...
I think we beat up Rob.
Yeah, we did. Sorry.
I beat him up. I think we're trying to give him constructive criticism.
We're just trying to clarify what it is. I was so confused that...
It was confusing
for me.
Yeah.
Too many words.
Well, too many conflicting words, in my opinion. But we want it to work out. I think that's it. Anybody have... Oh, wait. We have the biggest segment that we're known for, the restaurant news and food news with Toby Peck.
All right, look, this is going to be multi-layered. I'm going to throw this out to either one of you. Do you know what astroturfing is?
Astroturfing?
Yeah.
You do?
Isn't that gross thing that they put on ball fields?
So, but you don't know what the term... You're not familiar with the term.
No, particularly.
AstroTurfing is basically when you have a website like Yelp, okay, mm-hmm. where people are supposed to write proper and honest reviews of, let's say, a restaurant. But in fact, they're buddies of the guy that owns the restaurant, so they end up writing this flowering review, which really has nothing to do with your actual experience. Or vice versa, somebody opens up
sabotaging some other
sabotaging. Well, okay, so that's why it's called astroturfing.
Never heard that.
Because it's not real.
Because it's not real. It's false, right? It's anti-green or whatever you want to call it. It's not anti-grassroots.
Okay.
So. Understanding that, okay, you and I have had certain discussions with regard to certain sites which are better than others. If you were, let's say, going to Portland, Maine, and you wanted to find a restaurant or a place to stay, which ones do you find more reliable?
I always go to TripAdvisor.
Okay, mm-hmm. You don't go to Yelp?
Very rarely.
And your reason for going to TripAdvisor?
I've had so much success with hotels and restaurants that's why I go to TripAdvisor.
And there's certain writers for TripAdvisor.
Well, you know, in that regard, one of the major GMG contributors is Nicole Schraft. But she writes the picks, top picks of the week for things to do with your kids. Well, guess what? We don't have any kids, or you do have some young kids, but you don't. I mean, the point being is, shouldn't we as adults also have certain, maybe some picks of the week as to what we could do? You just talked about tailgating at the Revolution. I'm a AAA member. You have to have it if you have a vehicle.
Yep.
You're not smart if you don't. But in their monthly newsletter, they talked about brunch was a perfect way to enjoy the weekend. They had several places that are recommendations, but the best one was Triptychs, and they were talking about foodie tours. And in Boston, and I've checked them out on TripAdvisor, there's some good ones, is my point. If you want to go to Chinatown and really get all the inner workings of where the Chinese markets are,
there's a good foodie tour for Chinatown?
North End in Boston. Mm-hmm. You want to go into the Italian community and really find out what's going on, like you were a local, they've got one. Okay. They've got one in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. It's an hour away, it's a day trip. So if you're looking for something to do, I would suggest checking this out. I bet you it would be an absolute blast for a date, something to do.
So where's the information on where we can find them?
You can go to TripAdvisor and put in foodie tours.
Don't we have our own here? Can
yes, but tour? I'm just saying, you know.
In other communities.
In other communities. You want to go to Providence, isn't that far away.
No, right.
So, Toby, here's an assignment for you if you're up for it. Find some links to different ones that seem interesting to you. We'll put them in the show notes.
I do. So that was one thing. And along that line of reviews, I came across this article this past week in New Zealand. And I know no one's going there for the weekend. But I found this very...
Is that over the bridge?
Yeah, just over. There was a restaurant got torn apart on their local review site, their TripAdvisor type of site, by these people who reviewed it. But the restaurant owner fought back. He tracked them down. Okay, and with social media like Facebook and all, he put the truth out.
Huh.
Okay, these people came in and they checked on him a half dozen times and they said everything was fine, but afterwards they reviewed it and said it was the worst meal they've ever had in their life, that both my meal and my husband's meal was the most salty thing that we've ever had, and on my husband's dish, it was supposed to come wrapped in prosciutto, but it looked like it was wrapped in bacon. Well, it turned out that on the menu, the two items said they were brined. Now, if you don't know what brining is, it's salt.
I said it was too salty, yeah.
Too salt. Okay, and nowhere on the menu did it say it was wrapped in prosciutto. The dish was supposed to be wrapped in pancetta.
Which is like a bacon.
Bacon, okay. Yeah. So the point being is this guy fought back on a bad review, but TripAdvisor is a great way. I will research that for the foodie tours
put a list of a couple ones.
I just think,
But people who are on TripAdvisor, they're actually screened to do reviews.
Not necessarily.
I'm
not screened, but I put reviews in.
But a lot of people who are on them, they actually ask certain people who do a lot of traveling, because
Eric Lorden, who owns Passports, tries to spend some of his time off going to other communities to see what's trendy, what's going on. Maybe he's going to incorporate some of that into passports. He's not going to write an awful review if it's bad. He's just not going to review it. But if he finds something good, he always writes in TripAdvisor a review.
Right.
I write reviews on TripAdvisor.
Yeah. It's a more trusted, I think.
I think that, so in the case of astroturfing, right, when you go to like big cities and there are restaurants that have 1,000 reviews or 500 reviews, I don't, like, a restaurant could astroturf, the, you know, or like, or have their friends mm-hmm. write glowing reviews of their restaurant. But when you see the ones that rise to the top and they have 1,000 reviews, most restaurant people don't have enough friends and yeah. employees to write that enough to make an impact on a rating.
Right.
You know, because everything, the ratings really tell all. And there's so many different levers you can pull, like for, okay, expensive, this type of
right,
food, you can really narrow it down.
Yeah, in Gloucester and TripAdvisor for food, you're going to find Duckworth's. Yeah, sure you are. But you're also going to find George's Coffee Shop mm-hmm. on Washington Street.
And the Causeway. Yeah. You're going to find, but 9 times out of 10, like I think that a lot of people, when you go to these towns, when you go to towns and you find these glossy brochures.
Yeah.
Like, you kind of almost don't want to go to, because, like, a lot of these places are the big tourist trap places that have,
that can afford
that are putting market. So much money into marketing
yep.
that they're taking it away from someplace else. Like, yep. the Causeway, I'm fairly certain, the Causeway, Virgilio's, Sclafani's,
yep.
George's, Sugar Mag,
no Square
Cafe.
Yep,
right. There's no glossy brochures.
No glossy.
They're putting their love, their soul, their heart into like this. Serving interesting yep. passports into awesome food.
Yeah,
Eric like spent nothing on you know on advertising.
Oh, yeah.
He just spent $500 to polish up his website, but he did it kicking and screaming.
Yeah.
Well, like 525, they put it on the blog. They asked me to come down there. They put it on Facebook. They don't have a lot of fancy schmancy stuff. They're just trying to get.
But a lot of times, like you see, like you know, and you if you go, like you go into the hotel, say you're in San Diego or something, and you go by the one that has the fanciest, the biggest, you know, most yes. overly designed ad, and you go there, you're like, damn,
really?
This is sheet pan food.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's been microwaved.
It was prepared in a like this monstrous. Hotel kitchen
yep,
type of deal
yep.
and you're like, oh really?
Oh, absolutely.
Did I really just do this?
And when you travel, I want to just go to the places that
TripAdvisor is
the locals
what I found it's the best. Joey's found it's the best.
Yeah, I did that because we're going to Charleston, South Carolina for a wedding and I went on TripAdvisor.
There you go.
To just to see where to stay and what to do and you know.
There you go.
But I'm not gonna look at Yelp because Yelp can be sometimes it can be very nasty.
Oh, really?
I haven't really looked at it. I just gravitate to TripAdvisor.
Yeah, that's why.
There's our consensus. All right. I think we got another Gloucester cast. Our first one. I hope we're invited back. I hope we didn't. I hope we didn't do anything bad. That we got. Oh, we got the thumbs up from Eric Chalker.
Can I say that the last time I was on TV?
What,
you
want Captain Kangaroo or
Boomtown?
I was on Boomtown.
Boomtown.
I was a general store.
Yeah. Who
general
used to live in.
There we go.